welcome to the podcast. It's the best podcast in the world.
This is going to end up on the show. I know it, motherfucker.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 96 of Epitome of Stupidity, your favorite, allegedly, metal podcast. Intro today is a song called Quitter Talk by a band I've mentioned a few times here recently called Half Me, but we'll get to more about them soon. So if you're new here, welcome in. I'm Clint. I'll be your host. If you're not new here, welcome back, and please continue to bring your own booze. Outside of that stuff, you should know that the podcast has once again partnered with Sonic Temple here in Columbus, and the second set of weekend passes have been given away, but there will be one more set of passes to be given away. We'll call them the Procrastinators winners. Info about that here soon. Speaking of, how about Clint plays us a Sonic Temple commercial right about now.
Sonic Temple Art and Music Festival returns to historic Crew Stadium. Slipknot. Disturbed. Pantera, the original Misfits, Evanescence, Limp Bizkit, Judas Priest, Stain, Breaking Benjamin, A Day to Remember, Falling in Reverse, Sleep Token, Rise Against, 311, Seether, Mudvayne, and many more. May 16th through the 19th, Columbus, Ohio. Tickets on sale now at SonicTempleFestival.com.
As I said, every damn time I play that commercial, that is going to be 4 days of fucking loud fun that I'm sure will have no small amount of booze. Probably whether you like it or not. So you should go there and you should try to win tickets from this podcast, me talking. Speaking of things going on here in Columbus, Ohio, my friend and friend of the local music scene, one John Estep, has put together a benefit concert to raise money for the Mental Health America of Ohio and the Franklin County Suicide Prevention Coalition. This wonderful concert for a worthwhile cause will be taking place Sunday, May 19th at Natalie's in Grandview. And there will be a link in the show description for you to find any and all of the info related to. If available and around, you should definitely attend that as well. So, listening to what I've been listening to here lately, going into that last show with Christian of Horrors, which if you haven't heard, you should certainly go back and fucking push play on that as soon as you're done here. Leading up to that album coming out and immediately after, there has been so much music released. There was the Horrors album itself. There's been Black Tusk here just yesterday as I'm recording this, which is just fucking great. The new High on Fire, hell, even Pearl Jam released an album. Plus the Melvins and Dune, and just so much good music. A glut of just greatness. Not to mention, I was lucky enough to go see The Boss last Sunday, and so you know, naturally had to kind of sidetrack into some Springsteen even, easy for me to say, because why wouldn't you? But again, as I've already said, the constant theme here lately has been Half Me, and they just happen to be who we're talking to on the show today. So again, we're going to push pause on talking about them for just a little bit longer. Because before we get too deep in the weeds with them, it's time for me to encourage you to drink better. You hear me talk about this every show, and there's usually some talk of Viking costumes or assaulting people with empty bottles. And while all that's encouraged, I can talk really well. Let's be serious, or some version of, for just a second. Look, I drink beer. Almost exclusively. I don't do liquor or wine or whatever other options there are out there, but when we first got hooked up with Brimming Horn and they sent us some mead, needless to say, I make an exception to the just beer thing every now and then for some of their delicious fucking mead. They've got it in all flavors and tastes you could possibly want, and they actually win awards for this shit. Get you some by going to brimminghornmeadery.com. Picking some out, then at checkout, use code EPITOMEAD, that's EPITOMEAD, all one word, and then say out loud, thank you, Clint, because that code just got you 10% off your order. You're welcome. On to Half Me. In the category of things I maybe shouldn't say, but have probably said before, I'm not the world's biggest metalcore fan. But these guys, I caught them randomly after finishing an album by God Complex, I believe it was, who are just as heavy as it sounds like they might be, and have been pretty well fucking hooked since. Their album Soma is a 100%er. You push play and you just let that damn thing go, and once it's over, maybe you start it over and do it again. They're labeled as metalcore, at least that's what I usually see them as. We'll talk to them about it. But they do it in a heavy, groovy way that I just really fucking enjoy. And it, I don't know, again, things I maybe shouldn't say, but a lot of the metalcore stuff comes off as inauthentic or fake or just cut, copy, paste, and, you know, on to the next song. Whereas with these guys, there's a much more authentic and less predictable feel to it. And, you know, it works. There's plenty of aggression. There's plenty of beats. There's plenty of ridiculous chugging riffs. There's great vocals. All the necessary ingredients to make cool songs, albums, and music in general, right?
Right.
Let's maybe talk to Chris of the band about what all they have going on, and let's do that right after a fake phone sound. Beep, 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 boop. Ring. And he answered. On the line with me right now is Chris of Half Me. Chris, how the hell are you today?
Hello. Thanks for having me. I'm great.
That's awesome. And you are in Hamburg, Germany?
Yes, sir.
Epitome of Stupidity's international tour continues. It's great to have you today. I like to start these with just a big generic. What are you listening to lately?
Oh, lately?
Yeah.
Actually, not a lot of metal. Like
okay.
More kind of like drum and bass, just like for like the atmosphere and all that.
Okay.
But I got a couple pretty sick albums still waiting to be checked out. So, yeah.
Yeah, there's been a lot of good music that's come out here recently.
Yeah.
So kind of fill us in here. People who don't know the band, people who've never heard of the band, people who just want some more info. What is the kind of quick Cliff Notes version of the band's history up to now?
Yeah. All right. Yeah, to put it like really quick, we're like a metal band out of Hamburg, Germany, as you said. We put out our debut LP last year. Beginning of last year. Before that, we just like played the single game for a bit, you know. And we've been touring since then. Like, basically the whole last year has been just us putting out the album and then just being on the road, playing festivals around Europe. Starting this year with another tour as well. So, yeah, but we can get into that later on.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Just lots of touring and lots of recording and all that stuff just to, like, bring some cool stuff to the scene, because we felt like, there's definitely, like, a space for our kind of music in this scene. So yeah, that's Half Me in a nutshell.
You know what? You I like the way you end that there. I'm going to jump to something a little unplanned here. I've seen you guys categorized as everything from metalcore to nu metal to hardcore and 100 other things in between. How would you categorize Half Me?
Yeah, it's really fucking hard. I'm just going to go with metal, because, like, you know, a lot of people say we're not metalcore enough to be fit in that direction, but also, like, we're not into the whole, like, old school heavy metal stuff.
Sure.
You know? So it's really hard to put us somewhere in there. And then there's the, like, the deathcore folks who are, like, some of them who are, like, really elitist, you know?
Sure.
You don't check that box or that one. You don't have, like, drop Z tune and all that stuff. So we're not really fitting into that one either. And, I guess we're combining a lot of stuff to make it really unique. But I would say it's just plain. It's just metal, you know?
Sure, yeah.
At the end of the day.
I'm for it. And, you know, like, leading up to our conversation, because metalcore is what I see more often than not with you guys. And metalcore was kind of how I framed it leading into taking the call here. And I like your definition there a lot better. I think a lot of these things can be simplified. I think they're overthought. I think there's fucking rock music. There's fucking metal. There's not a lot of need to overthink it.
Yeah, right.
It's so easy to just splinter off into 85,000 different subgenres. And the more, to use your word there, the more splintered off things get, the more elitist people seem to feel about it. And it's,
yeah. And it also, like, at some point, it's just so absurd. Like,
right.
How many more words are you going to put into that genre title, you know? It's pretty.
Yeah, it can be just a bit much.
Yeah, but we are technically, like, stemming from the whole metalcore world. Not
sure.
Just because, like, we play with a lot of bands in the metalcore scene, like, in the European metalcore scene, I would say. But, like... Like, the bands we've been in before, they've been, like, metal, like classic metalcore bands, SLA Dying-inspired stuff.
Sure.
You know? So, like, really, yeah. This is kind of where we came from, but we wanted it to make it, like, even more unique, like, even more our own touch on it. Yeah.
I'd say you've done a damn fine job with that. Like, since, I believe
you
guys, no, thank you. The, you guys formed, I believe, in 2018, right?
Yeah.
It seems like you've made a pretty quick ascent there after that formation. Is there anything specific you feel like you can attribute to that?
Nah. I sometimes wonder as well, because, yeah, I know we make some cool music and all that, but I wonder, like, what the tiny... things like make it for people to like listen to us instead of like Lorna Shore.
Sure,
like,
yeah.
If you have like 20 minutes left of your day and you want to smack some metal on, like, why did you choose us? It's like still baffling to me. But we did like only a handful of features. Like that's something that's really. Kind of like planned out from the beginning because we didn't feel like we're the band who needs like super much like star power to just convey their song to an audience or something. And so, yeah, so like the features we have are really just the people we really wanted to work with or like we really want them to be on this specific song. Yeah, and other than that, it's just, I think, yeah, just... the heaviness, you know, like
amen to that shit.
Yeah, like I think what makes it for me is basically, you know, like metalcore choruses are always so fucking corny. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
man.
That's
yes.
Kind of the thing.
It like
yeah, we kind of wanted to spin it another way. Yeah.
And again, that's kind of like leading up to talking to you. My little spiel was something to that effect. Where so much of that metalcore stuff seems. Cut, copy, paste. It's all the same fucking thing, and the choruses can be so damn corny, and it all just comes off kind of fake a lot of times. And I just don't get any of that with you guys. There's definitely no cut, copy, paste. This verse, this chorus, and then this fucking completely different, twice as brutal verse after it. It's great, man. I love it.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
It's it makes it. You know, there's. To say things I maybe shouldn't say, there can be like a negative connotation to the metalcore thing because of the things we're talking about. And if this is metalcore, then I'm fucking in. Let's do it.
Yeah. Same.
So before we get to some of the newer stuff, let's talk a little deeper about Soma. Is how you pronounce it, right? The album?
Yeah, Soma. Yeah, for sure.
It was obviously very well received, to say the least. Do you feel any pressure or worry about repeating yourself with what comes next?
I don't think we feel pressured in that sense that we have to like top that, because for us, like, you know, we had the intention of writing an album that was just like a solid body of work, like a full thing that is just a good groundwork, you know, just to have some like baseline to work off of. And I think we kind of did that. So everything that's now just coming out is really just us experimenting more. Like, we have the freedom to experiment more sound wise and stylistically, you know, just including more of our like, or more of the elements that we wanted to include instead of like what's trending or whatever.
Sure, yeah.
So, yeah, like I said, yeah, the Soma album is basically the whole base of where we want to like start off of, and yeah,
just a fucking killer starting point.
Yeah, right. And I'm not saying like this is our best album ever or something, you know.
Sure.
I still think like there's a lot of music that's not out yet that is definitely like better.
Yeah, man. Based on what I've heard of the new stuff, that's.
Yeah, right. And even the new ones. Right. Yeah, yeah. I think so too.
It's
just only getting crazier from here.
I'm for it. So I've seen Soma talked about in Acts and kind of like the story arc and everything. What is the story being told there?
It's like, it's not like a very, it's like a thematic album, but it doesn't really tell a story from A to,
okay.
From the beginning to the end. It's more like we have a beginning and we have an end. Like, it's the, kind of like the discovery of like some mental illness you, the protagonist on the album could have. And yeah, it's just like, that's like the intro, and then the whole album is just different situations, different points, different like POV stuff.
Sure.
From like, yeah, just different aspects of like, if it's society, if it's just mental health, like anything you could think of. And then like the last song on the album is the self-titled track. And that's basically, yeah, it's the revelation, or like the acceptance of such a thing in your life. Because I wanted it to be real, you know. And I'm not personally like, everybody's got their stuff going on, you know. But I'm personally not too much affected. Like I had a good upbringing and all that. I'm very happy I didn't, but there's
sure,
people
yeah.
who suffered a lot more. And I felt like if I talk to those people and say, yo, I know what the fuck is up, like, I'll be laughed at.
Right.
It's ridiculous. So, yeah, that's where I just kind of wanted to leave it with, like just going from, oh, shit, like, there's just something wrong with me, probably. And then in the end, just, like, I'm accepting it. It's part of me, it's part of myself, it's part of my life now.
Right.
And yeah, so that's basically the whole spiel of it.
And that last song you mentioned is actually called Half Me. So let's tie two conversations here together. So the track title's Half Me and the band name is Half Me. Where did this phrase come from?
It's actually from our bassist. He's working in a what's it called? A psychic ward.
Oh, really?
Like psychiatry? Yeah. And he's been witnessing some like crazy shit just going on, and he's not someone particularly affected by this as well. Like, none of us are, but there's a lot of, let me put it this way. All right. So, there's a full me, you know?
Sure.
But, like, there's a part of everyone, I assume, that is just, like, unused potential. Like, what could I do if I used, like, 100% of my brain?
Right.
That kind of, like, stuff. I think they put it in movies and stuff like that as well. Like, just the idea of what could we do with the whole, like human potential.
The whole me, yeah.
And so, yeah, and so that you can put it like positively, like what can I do, like what's there to achieve for me, or like what's the part of me that is probably missing, like what am I lacking, or which part of me is just not fully there with me, you know? So, yeah, that's kind of like the idea behind it. We didn't want to make it too damn cheesy, and I think that would be the last song that is so quote unquote emotional.
Yeah.
But yes. Yeah.
Without it's obviously a different gear for the band and the album, but you guys do a really good job of pulling it off without it sounding like a different band or a different album. It it's a really good way to kind of wrap things up, you know, again, in a different gear. And I love that you're so self-aware and conscious of the whole, you know, I'm telling a story. This isn't necessarily about me just trying to get these things out there and trying aggressively trying to not be fucking cheesy and awful.
Yeah.
That there could be some more self-awareness out there in that regard to kind of save us from some cheesiness.
Yeah, for sure. Like, there's only so much stuff to talk about, you know?
Yeah.
And I think metalcore has had enough of, like, always just basically the same message, just...
fucking relationship songs.
Yeah, like, fuck my ex, he's a bitch, whatever. I'm angry. Or, like, oh, dude,
I'm angry.
We had that... Oh, man. Now, like, looking back in retrospect, the whole, like, what, when was it? Was it 2012 or, like, 2014, maybe? Like, the whole era of, like, metalcore bands just being super misogynistic.
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's, oh, man. Just looking back at that phase, I feel like there's better stuff to talk about, and that probably has a better meaning than, stuff like that.
Yeah. Nobody needs more misogynistic or, let's be honest, more fucking breakup songs.
Right.
So I guess if we're going to kind of throw back some of those things and skipping some of the bands that are cheesy and or misogynistic, who are some of your influences?
So like sonically, you mean?
Yeah.
Definitely like modern bands like Spites. Those guys are, we've been listening to them for a long time, like especially for the newer stuff, they're a huge influence. But I guess there's also bands like just Alpha Wolf, Dealer, when they founded in, I believe, 2019 as well, or 2018, I think. Like, when they came out, they brought the fucking, like, that was a new sound to it. And, that was really influential for us. But also, like, there's lots of OG metalcore bands, like Memphis Mayfire. We all grew up kind of, like, on bands, like, I mean, yeah, just, like, Killswitch Engage, you know, Suicide Silence. I think to a certain extent, all of those like influences can be kind of like heard within the music, but there's like I said, there's just so much stuff. Also lately for some of the like even newer music, like I came from a different part of the country, like a bit more north than the other guys. And I grew up in a different music scene than these guys did.
Sure.
So I had a lot of like true like thrash metal bands, power metal bands, and all that stuff.
Right.
But the other guys didn't, and so yeah, it all kind of like plays into the whole thing, and I think that's also what makes it kind of unique.
Yeah, we're kind of like a handful of puzzle pieces from random ass places come. And just magically fit together to make a cool fucking half me picture, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So you guys self-produced Soma. Is the intention to continue to self-produce these things?
We are still producing it all in our studio that we have in Hamburg. Mixing and mastering is done by somebody else, though. So the end product is the final sound is definitely like coming from someone else, and we also have like different people joining in for like collaborations. We have friends doing like on the song we talked about, like the self-titled Half Me.
Yeah.
This one has like violins and just some orchestral stuff in it. And all these like elements have been done by a friend of ours who's like really into like electronic production, electronic music production.
Okay.
And so, yeah, that's a lot of stuff he contributed to the album as well. And we, yeah, we had another guy from the Czech Republic who's been working with us for like, I think also like 2 or 3 years now. And he's been working on just like, you know, just some sounds here and there, just some sound bits, you know, just some cool, whatever, like voices or whatever it may be. And yeah, and then for the Soma album, we also worked with Jonathan Dolise from, I believe he's in LA now.
Okay.
Yeah, he's been working with so many great bands from over there as well. So when we kind of like met him and he showed us what he could bring to the table for the album, we were like, fuck yeah, this is what we actually need. So yeah, we do the production, we do the recording, we do the cutting, the editing, the chopping it all together, like arranging, rearranging and all that. This is all in our hands, but after that, it's just getting sent out to the mix and master guy, and he makes whatever magic he does.
I don't understand how that shit works either, man.
Yeah, no, me neither. So.
It's like you send somebody a twig from a tree and they give you back a full ass, big ass tree. It's like, how the fuck did this happen?
Yeah, right?
It's crazy.
It's always the same shit.
So as the singer, you don't play any instruments, correct?
No, I play guitar, but
do
I,
you?
Like, I just sing. Like in this band, I just sing.
Okay, all right. I thought I had my info all wrong, which wouldn't have been the first time, but still.
No.
So when you guys are writing stuff, and I assume that there's some version of the music written before the lyrics, right, and the vocals, how often do they, you know, kind of throw them back to what we've said previously, where these aren't cookie-cutter things, and it's, you know, a chorus and or a verse is not likely to be the same as it was the first time you heard it. How often do these guys throw something at you where you think, A, holy fuck, that's badass, and B, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah. I appreciate the question. So, a lot of times.
Actually. Yeah?
Yeah, like, even, like, a couple, like, let's say a week before we are scheduled to send it out to the mix master guy, sometimes, like, a week before that, we, like, change things around. I go into the studio and re-record, like, a line or just, we cut out a part or whatever. So, there's always this kind of like element of being flexible with the songs, which I really like, because the whole intention of it is just to like go hard, be like entertaining in a sense. And yeah, if we decide to like, we get version one back, you know, and there's a part, you know, we don't really like anymore or whatever, we think it shouldn't be in the song, we just like cut it out or try something differently. And yeah, so there's a lot of times we have to do that, but then there's also the times where we are like, we have to, like, we are literally obliged to do it like this just because it fucks so hard. Like, we have those moments as well,
right?
Like, we gotta put it out like this,
right? There's no messing with that. Yeah, that's like, gonna beat all the ass.
Yeah, sometimes it's just like a small little pause, like right next to a snare,
sure,
hit, or like,
yeah,
stuff like that, you know.
Some of those just little breaks for like a beat and a half, and then it comes back in,
yeah,
with like a damn sledgehammer. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, exactly.
So
like,
good.
I couldn't care less for the whole song, but this exact part, it has to be like
right.
That. I'm sorry.
The whole song is for this fucking 12 seconds.
Yes.
I can think of a couple instances just off the top of my head where that whole damn thing that we just talked to could be a fucking example. So the next album, I believe, is called Concrete Calling, or Ceiling, I'm sorry. And it's due out in November, right?
It's the single, actually.
Is
like,
it?
Like, Concrete Ceiling, yeah, that's the single. It's not the name of the album.
Oh, okay. See, I said something about getting info wrong last time, and then I got it wrong this time.
Nah, don't you worry. It's easy to be confused by all these kind of like two-word titles.
Sure. So Concrete Ceiling is the single, along with Quitter Talk. Yeah. And what's the third single that's out so far?
Yeah, I just call it Chains because it's a rather long title. It's called Nothing Left to Lose But the Chains.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so it's just like Chains.
So those three will all be on the upcoming album, which is actually due out in November, right?
Hell yeah, maybe even a bit before that.
Fuck yeah. So is there a name to the album yet?
Like, I could try to, like, conceal it and not tell it and be, like, really mysterious about it, but there just is no name. I didn't find a name yet.
No mystery here.
No. Yeah, write that down. No mystery.
No mystery here. So, the album coming out in November, you've got the three songs out, and you guys have got, I was looking through just to make sure I tried to have the info right. Before we hopped on the call, and there's no small amount of tour dates coming up. 2024 is looking to be a big fucking year for you guys. And I think if I'm looking at it right, it looks like you guys are playing damn near every day in May.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
that's fucking nuts, man.
I think it's 3 weeks of shows and I believe one off day. You're like, it's a lot of traveling around.
Is there any worry about? Fatigue or blowing out your vocals with something like that?
Yeah, always.
Always.
It's basically what keeps me up at night.
Yeah.
No, I'm really like it's so we've played a couple tours, like a couple smaller tours as well, like just like regional tours and then like some neighboring countries and all that. We've been on the road with the guys in Throne last year a couple shows. So, yeah, there's some experience, you know, but we're still, like, kind of really new. And this time with the run in May, we're actually going out with Resolve, Kane Hill, and Acres. And those are all, like, not small bands.
No. So
I've heard them before. Like, I've been jamming their music, actually. Right. So now just going out with them, being in a nightliner and all that, it's just something completely different. So, yeah. I'm always kind of worried about stuff, but I also try to not overcomplicate stuff because I think, yeah, I don't know. I think at the end of the day, everything's going to be just fine.
Excellent. Are there more dates set? You know, is there plans for more dates outside of the ones that are already announced? And being a guy in America, I'd be remiss not to ask, is there any plan to make it over here?
Yeah, there is.
Is this another no mystery thing?
This is actually a mystery thing. Because I'm not allowed to talk about it yet. But
no mystery here, yeah, but there is a mystery here.
We are working on it. Yeah.
That's funny. Well, I will. I'll certainly keep my fucking eyes peeled for that. Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, hell yeah.
Wouldn't mind seeing you.
Oh damn! I would have to check if we hit up that place, but I'm pretty confident we're going pretty much all around. So I can say that we are in the process of getting the visa right now. So there is like plans to go to the U.S.
Excellent.
And that's where I'm leaving it. Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm beyond stoked about that.
I am too officially.
Yeah.
Have you ever? With being relatively new and playing some of these bigger shows and these tours and everything that seem to be coming at you, is there ever an instance of performance anxiety? Do you get worried about anything?
I try to play it cool. And then like 5 minutes before we hit the stage, I'm like, oh, fuck, dude. What are the lyrics for the song? Oh, shit. I'm really like going crazy, batshit. And then show starts. All gone, all good.
Kind of habit and routine kick in.
Yeah, yeah. Like the guys are really pissed off at me for like playing it cool sometimes. But dude, I have to calm myself down. Like I can't do it for you guys.
Right.
So, yeah.
The obviously there's a lot of ferocity and just fucking metal to these songs. How challenging is it to take that and? You know, from the studio and the recorded things and make it live and make it work.
Oh, yeah. There's a thing I have with like breakdowns, because at some point, like it must have been like a year or more like ago, I saw a video of like some band playing like breakdowns and like doing the Running Man and all that. And yeah,
I think I saw that too.
Yeah, like the cool stage moves, and then but like they removed the sound from it, and instead they put like the squeaking noise.
I know
from
exactly.
Their shoes in it. Yeah. And this changed my whole outlook on the whole thing, because like just seeing people playing weird patterns on guitar and on the drums and all that, you know, it makes it kind of like absurd, or adds some absurdity to it.
Sure.
But yeah, since we're like obviously super drop tuned, like we try to make it as massive as we can, just so like in front of the stage it hits you, and when it does, I can see it in the people, you know, like the crowd usually resonates, and if they do, it's pretty sick.
Fuck yeah. Are you guys going to be playing a bunch of new songs, or is it just the three that you've got released so far?
Yeah, we're playing the three and another new one.
Nice.
On this upcoming tour. Yeah.
So this is kind of, I understand that this is kind of a stupid question, because we've already talked about the new songs. I've heard the fucking new songs, but I want to hear you talk about them, and other people want to hear you talk about them, as opposed to me just saying, you know, fuck every other word, and that's cool and stupid shit like that. So what can you tell me about the new album and how it evolves you guys' sound?
Oh, man. So I think with the new songs, they definitely have a more like raw approach to the music itself. You know, like the riffing is more riffy, like the drums are more punchy. The vocals, like on Soma, I tried a lot of different vocal variants. And for the newer stuff, I actively decided to keep it with like two or three vocal styles, you know.
Okay.
And yeah, just to like keep it distinct, you know. And yeah, I think that's what's to be expected sound wise. Like we still try to deliver an album that's gonna hit hard, without like completely forgetting about where we kind of like came from, because there's so many people that still want us to do clean choruses and all that, and we do. Like,
sure, yeah.
It's not something we totally do not want to do anymore, but I think we have to really step up the game, because there's just so many good bands that do really good choruses, and there's really bands that do just breakdowns, and they like they're fucking pros on
right.
What they do. So, you know, we have to kind of like up the game and make the ones that we do, like the breakdowns, even more heavy, and the choruses even more like
dynamic.
Good, like dynamic, yeah. And yeah, so that's where it's what's kind of like to be expected from the album sound wise. I think. Like lyrically, content wise, it's not as much of a story to be told. It's just songs. Like to be honest, man, I'm really pissed off by the state of the world right now. But I
amen to that
don't
shit.
Really want to. Yeah, I mean, what can you do? Man? So yeah, it's a lot of anger in those songs, and a lot of like. Man, this world's trying to drag you down a lot.
Right.
So, yeah, just being, yeah, upfront with this fact and kind of like, yeah, letting out aggression. It's like a punching bag, if you will. Not just for me, but I hope for other people as well.
Like a sonic punching bag.
Yeah, right.
Writing that down. Sonic punching bag. And with song,
I gotta remember that.
Right, that's a good one. With track titles like Quitter Talk and Concrete Ceiling, Those don't sound like you're gonna sing about everybody hold hands and rainbows and stuff. It sounds like the aggression's gonna be conveyed pretty easily. And you talk about the vocal styles, like Concrete Ceiling. Immediately starts out with the kind of Cookie Monster, damn near death metal type fucking thing. So I love to hear and see a fully, you know, an idea come to fruition like that. Like to hear you talk through it and to kind of think about the songs that I've heard and realize that, yeah, no, this dude had a plan and it fucking worked.
Yeah, that's the most interesting part about this song, especially because we had it written all out and there was like a bunch of lyrics, and we went to the studio, recorded it, and then we were like, damn, something's missing. And at that point, we didn't have the intro part yet.
Yeah.
So I was just like, dude, what if we just start with the vocals, like isolated vocals, just the vocals, and make it just super heavy from there. We tried it out, everyone vibed with it, and that's kind of like how it came together with this one. And also, it kind of introduces the new, like more, kind of like more brutal, or like more, like definitely more low.
Right, style. For sure.
And yeah, I thought that was a really good way to just go about that.
Obviously the band agreed, and I'm going to go ahead and agree as well that that's a fucking great way to start that damn song.
Hell yeah, it feels good.
And again, if anger and aggression are the things to be conveyed on this album, it sounds like it's working.
It's funny because like, sorry.
No, absolutely. Please keep going.
I just wanted to add for this one, like we played it, live for the first time, I think 2 weeks ago in the Netherlands. And it was crazy just like seeing people kind of like semi knowing the lyrics and all that. But
right.
Everyone who didn't know the lyrics was like standing there just like kind of like intimidated. And that's where I was like last year I've seen Spike on stage for the first time as well.
Nice.
And I was afraid. Like, this dude is going to kill me. I was really, man, holy shit. I was never afraid at a concert, you know? It's a safe space and all that. But I was like, shit, get that dude off the stage. He's going to, like, he's a threat. I didn't mean to, like, copy that or anything, but it's just... It came to my mind when I, like, while I, like, during the performance, I guess.
Sure.
That people might expect something not so super heavy from us, and then this intro kicks in with the low, low vocals, and, yeah, it's just a song that's really fun.
Fuck yeah.
And straight to the point.
Yeah, man. Speaking of, to kind of play off your reaction there to seeing Spite, have there been any kind of, like, humbling reactions or... things that caught you off guard with any of the stuff that you guys have released, either Soma previously or the new stuff? Like, has there been a reaction from a band or just shit online where things have blown up in a way that you didn't expect?
Oh man, like, so Reddit is talking about us.
I'm glad you point that out, because like going into every show, I just generically Google the band and start picking up info and trying to put things together. And for, you know, 96 bands or whatever it is now, you guys are the first time that I Google it and there's a fucking Reddit thread that's just about you guys. It's like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, I love that as well. Like, the vocalist of Throne, he actually pointed it out to us, and that's when I started digging into Reddit and all that, because I didn't know that people were so active in this community, and I'm really thankful people are, because they're really passionately, like, discussing the album and all that, and, yeah, it's crazy for me to see that. Other than that, I think, like, the reach out to us, like, just, like, on the phone, like, on the DMs,
sure.
On, like, you know, all that, it's crazy. Like, kind of like looking back to when we put out the album, it really, I mean, yeah, to put it in my perspective, you know, like, I've never been in a band that had like any like more than 2,000 listeners or whatever. Like, we've all been struggling to, like, get this music thing going. And now, like, just putting out this album, I guess, elevated the whole way we go about it, because it's super nice that people just be honest with us in the DMs and just go like, damn, that's a solid album. I like this track. I like that track. And like, just lots of compliments. I'm really bad with compliments as well. Like, I don't know why. Yeah. But yeah, it felt really good being DM'd a lot, like being like just in a conversation, you know. Yeah, friends and family also been like bombarding us with feedback for this one.
How, you know what? That's a good point there. Like, how do you describe your music to grandma?
I think last time I did, it was just noise. That's what I told her. Yeah. And that kind of like, I mean, imagine, that's crazy. Like, imagine in like 50, 60 years when I'm that age. I don't know, man. I feel like, I struggle to get along with hyperpop and all that because it's just like noise to me.
Sure.
You know? And like I like it, but it's like, it's from this kind of like perspective of like, I've been growing up with Killswitch Engage, you
right.
know, like I'm all for like the real cabs on stage,
fuck
real
yeah.
drum sound, all that cool stuff. Like, he's got an amazing voice. You don't really have to overproduce anything in it. And then there's stuff like hyperpop or like the even, yeah, like the more fucked up versions of it. Like, there's breakcore and all that stuff where you have like vocals that are edited until you can't really make it out anymore. And so this is what I kind of like imagine my grandma going or like hearing when she listens to my music. Yeah, and I think it's only gonna be more extreme for somebody who has no touching point with it, you know. like even for my mom, it's difficult because like, she's a teacher and she has like students, they're like 12 years old or whatever. So they obviously have like a totally different musical influence, because in Germany, like, I don't know if anywhere on the world right now metal is super popular. Like, you know, like,
sure.
In Germany it's rap, in Germany it's rap and hip hop music. It's really popular.
And then in the rest of the world it's Taylor Swift.
Yeah, right. So yeah, I think it's just about the like having the touching points. And now that my mom's been checking out the music for real sometimes, it makes it just easier for people to like describe it.
What does
she's always telling me, like, man, you're really angry, my son. Yeah, mom. Guess what?
I really that's fucking hilarious. So what is the metal scene like there in Germany?
I think it's, we definitely have a big scene. Like, we have the biggest metal festival, Wacken,
right
around the corner, you know. And there's a lot of other festivals. And whenever you go out to shows, you see a lot of people. And sometimes you see the same people you saw, like, last time, you know. Like, there's a lot of people in the metal scene, I feel like. There's some gatekeeping, but to be honest, like, where is no
right,
like, there is no place where it isn't.
There's one of those douchebags in every crowd.
Yeah, right. And I try to not be the one who's like really against what do you call it, man, I'm kind of missing the word, but what I'm trying to say is, like, there's a lot of bands in the metal scene in Germany.
Sure.
Like, a lot of bands, you know. It's not as extreme as in like Finland or was it Norway, where they have like
with the black metal shit.
Yeah, right. Like, they have they calculated the metal bands per capita, so like per head. It's crazy, and I don't think we are at the point where we have to do that in Germany yet. But yeah, like I said, there's a lot of bands, like a lot of local bands and all that, and they're all doing a good job, but it's a lot of competition as well. So, like, just from the band, being in a band perspective, there's a lot of competition. But other than that, like, if I were just like only a metal fan and only a listener, not a musician as well, I would be like, damn, I would be happy. Like,
sure.
We have the best festivals. We have so many great, like, events revolving around the whole metal scene and all that. So, yeah, that's kind of cool.
How stoked would you get? Go ahead.
Last year we had this crazy thing where we played. It was Full Metal Cruise. It's what it's called.
Yeah.
I know you guys have that as well.
Yep.
It's not the same festival, but it's like blah, tons of steel or something, like where they
40,000 tons of steel or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, right. It's just a fucking metal boat. It's crazy. So I never thought this stuff would actually be a thing, but it is. And so, yeah, it just kind of like tells me that there definitely are people who are willing to spend their time and money and whatever they have on metal. And I think that's pretty nice.
I'm going to go with you on that one. So who else was on the cruise with you guys?
Oh, man. So I think for us, in our like niche genre thing, there's been only a couple bands. I know NSOK from Germany, they've been on there as well. Let me check real quick. Maybe I'm not. They still have that shirt with all the bands on it. But I would have to check. We actually saw Gloryhammer. They're like a power metal band.
Right, yeah.
And so I've never been too much into the whole fantasy power metal.
Nor have I,
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but just seeing this in a live setting was, I mean, it might have been the alcohol as well. I don't know, but... these bands go hard. Like, it's crazy. You're just like, it makes sense to sit there because it's more like a musical. And then there's like the keyboardist who like guides you through the whole thing. And he's going like, and then there was an orc and he had to be slain. And then like the guitarist makes like
the like, gun thing. Like, sure.
Yeah. Stuff like that. And so they're really, really creative and I really appreciate it. About that. Aventasia, I think I've been there, I'm not sure. Like, just a lot of the whole Wacken crowd, because, like, you know, Wacken has been around, I think, since, like, late 80s, maybe?
I know, it's been around for a long fucking time, yeah.
Yeah, right. So, a lot of those bands in that kind of, like, cosmos have been on the boat as well, like, played there and all that. And it's just a lot of old school stuff as well, and I appreciate that a lot, because we found that quite a number of people from like a bit older than us, just like a small bit older than us, not 100% our like target group, if you want to call it like that.
Sure.
But like just slightly older than us. And they actually liked it a lot. They appreciated the like hardcore influences we have and all that.
Right.
So yeah, that was really cool. Just being on a boat with so many bands that are so different at the end of the day.
And however many tons of metal.
Yeah. Right. Also, I've seen. There's. Like, to be honest, there's some discussion to be had about this whole thing, playing on the boat, you know, like just environmental issues with this and
sure.
All that. And I'm not personally too sure if I would personally attend one of those festivals on a boat, but man, like just being there, you kind of like forget about all that. You see great bands, you drink great beer. You have great friends around you. You meet the nicest people. It's just a crazy experience.
Well, speaking of beer in Germany, I grabbed one myself here just to I tried to find me a German beer to drink while talking with you. I'm not going to try to pronounce it. Maybe you can.
Oh yeah, Weihenstephan.
Weihenstephan. All right.
Yeah, Weihenstephan. Yeah, yeah.
Perfect. That's it's fucking delicious. I'll tell you that much.
It's German beer.
There's a handful of them that I can get here in Columbus that are all pretty damn good. I can't do things that are too heavy on the ABV because I'll end up drunk and pass out next to the dog on the floor here next to me. But when I find one that's right, like this, say it for me again.
Weihenstephan.
All right, I'm going to try to say it right from here on out. Just a couple more questions, and then we'll turn this into the stupidity that I end these things with. What's something you wish you would have known when you guys started Half Me?
Something we wish we would have known. So let me try to put it this way. You can have a lot of activities going on in your life, or a lot of hobbies, a lot of just stuff.
Sure.
To spend your time with, and sometimes I'm not sure if we all would have done this if we would have known that it's so time, especially literally time and money consuming, because our private lives have been on pause for some time, depending on whatever it is that we do at the time. If we tour or if we produce a lot, it really you notice the difference to your colleagues or your friends who don't go on the road in May for 3 weeks,
right,
off day or shit like that, you know? I'm gonna say that's a big one. And then also within the industry, because we're green, we're new, we are clueless. We've never been on a nightliner, when we found out that you're not allowed to shit in a nightliner, we were like, oh, damn, really? What the fuck are we going to do? What are we supposed to do?
Gotta write that down.
There's just so many stuff, different stories and different situations, I guess, that other people have been through for us. That we kind of get to learn from now. But I think being supportive and being a good person gets you very far. Doesn't matter which industry or whatever you're in. If you're just trying to be a good person, I think that does a lot. And when we started, I've been there. I was really super fucking jealous of other bands who've made it further than we have. There's another band from Hamburg and they have X amount of followers and that's 2 more followers than all that bullshit.
Sure.
It doesn't really matter. That's just kind of what I personally had to go through and learn, and I wish somebody had told me. But even if somebody had told me, I would still have made the mistake. So
sure, right.
I'm just
a mistake of passion.
Yeah, right.
I don't want to kind of gloss over this, but I am going to pull this back into the not allowed to shit thing here in just a second. I just don't want to gloss over the being a good person gets you far. We're talking, briefly we talked about the new album and some of the lyrical content there and just how everything's fucking shitty and a pain in the ass. And it seems like the amount of stupid people is growing exponentially every fucking day, while a simple ass thing just knowing that being a good person is going to get you fucking further is such a simple fucking concept that could make everybody's day so much damn better. I just wanted to get on my high horse and run with that for a second. No,
you're absolutely right. I think to that point, sometimes it feels that's natural for me. It might be natural for you. It might be natural for anyone listening right now, or it might be natural for, like, if you grew up that's in a certain way, like, try to be nice.
Sure.
Just do not be like an asshole, like a douchebag or whatever. And then there's people I feel like sometimes, oh, hey, dog.
Yeah, see, chair spins. See you.
Yeah, and then, yeah, like I said, like, there's just some people who kind of, like, never think about that. Like, I got scammed in my life a couple times, like, just with, like, stupid shit, like, on the internet and stuff like that. So, and that's where I always wonder, like, are you really evil or, like, just desperate? Or what is the whole thing behind it? Like, what makes people do bad things, you know? And I'm just, like, super pissed off at people just being pure evil, like not even trying to be a positive change to the world. Because, yeah, man, I'm kind of like philosophical as well. I try to be as at least so.
Sure. Yeah, it seems like
ties in.
It seems like that. It's easy for people to, like, instead of the just being a fucking decent person, it's like there's a much too large section of the fucking world that is just trying to out evil the last fucking person. It's tiring,
yes.
Man.
Yeah, that's put perfect into words. Yeah,
it's
what I'm trying to say.
Fucking tiring. But anyways, I want to pull it back to finding out you couldn't shit on the tour bus.
Yeah.
And what? Give me one
back
more.
To the real topics.
Let's get serious here.
Yeah, sure.
The give me another a fun, goofy, weird tour story that you've got so far, and then we'll take this into the home stretch.
Oh man, we're super boring. Like, there's a couple like games we play on tour. It's like just saying animals' names or some shit like that. And yeah, so it's nothing like really spectacular that's been happening to us. We had no accidents yet, you know. We
knock on,
like,
fucking
on tour, nothing broke down or something. We never had any like struggle with other bands for like a timetable that we couldn't meet or whatever, you know. There's no super crazy stuff, but that's due to the fact that we're still really
sure. Yeah,
let's probably talk after the European and the United States run, and I think after that we're gonna have to
we'll catch back up then. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Let's do it. So yeah.
All right, man.
There's not a lot of crazy stuff.
But that's all right. Finding out that you're not allowed to shit in the just that whole bit there was good enough for me.
Yeah.
This has been a lot of fun, man. I'm gonna take this into the home stretch here. We're gonna do a handful of quote unquote rapid fire questions, a couple of one other thing, and then we'll actually end this thing. So now I've had a couple guys from the UK on here recently, being Danny from Foxjaw and Damien from St. Pierre Snake Invasion and a couple other bands. And I thought that this first question was a slam dunk no brainer and was wrong both times. So I'm not going to assume that with you, and I'm going to ask you straight up, coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Everybody says coffee. And coffee's the right answer.
Yeah, it is.
What's something you could eat for a week straight?
Oh, pizza.
Pizza comes up a lot there.
Like, just because I've been there, you know?
Sure. And because pizza's fucking delicious.
It is.
I'll tell you what, we're gonna go off script here. And, like, personally, for me, I don't understand why this is a thing, but apparently it is. Is pineapple an acceptable pizza topping? Absolutely it is. Pizza's delicious. Pineapple's delicious. What the hell are we talking about here?
Yeah, like, why is it a thing to discuss it?
I don't understand it. I'm writing it down. Pineapple is good.
Definitely yes.
Good on pizza. On pizza. All right. Now, everybody's heard me say things as I write them. That's great. I'm kind of interested here because, well, Beatles or Stones? He He has a look of shocked exasperation.
Like, I have to pick one, right?
One.
I'm gonna go with the Beatles.
And the Beatles are a common thing there. Like, I ask that because I feel like I'm cool, because I'll say the fucking Stones more often than not. But as has been talked through in the past couple shows, like, yeah, no, the Beatles are the Beatles because the Beatles are the fucking Beatles. There's no...
Yeah. And also, like you saw it, somebody who only listened to it now didn't see me, work my gears.
Sure. It was like your brain slamming on the brakes and saying, whoa!
Yeah. Pause.
Hang on here.
Something like that. I pick Beatles because just of the image, you know, like they have legendary imagery, like they're just so legendary in so many ways. Like I'm not gonna pretend that I know any songs of either band too well, but yeah, that's why it is Beatles for me.
In the last show, talking to Christian of the band Horrors, he pointed out something that I routinely forget. And that the Beatles are the Beatles, but they did that in 7 years. There was only 7 years.
What?
Yeah. There was only 7 years of the Beatles.
Nah, what?
Look it up, buddy. It's 7 years. They became the Beatles, and all of that ended in 7 years.
Okay, shit.
It's fucking crazy, man, to be that monumental in that amount of time. Anyways, back to my stupidity here. What's the weirdest gift you've ever received?
The weirdest gift was, like... Does it have to be band-related or not?
No. Just in general.
All right. Okay, I got, like, a voodoo doll once.
Oh, that is fucking weird.
Yeah, that is fucking weird. And I have no idea from whom it is, because in Germany there's, like, a thing where you have to, like people meet up in a group. And then everybody puts one gift into a box, like into like on a table or something. And
right.
Then it's just like you go in a circle and everybody picks one after the other. And yeah, that's what I picked, and I got that. And I have no idea who I got it from. I have no idea who I'm gonna
voodoo
put into excruciating pain. but that's kind of like the weirdest gift I got.
I tell you what, you can put my name on the damn thing as long as the only thing you do is put imaginary money into its hands.
Yeah, okay, all right, you can do that.
That would be fucking great as far as I'm concerned. What's your favorite season?
Summer.
Summer?
Yeah,
all right.
Summer season, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Beer or liquor?
Man, I'm all beer.
Yeah, I'm team beer too. If you could ask any animal one question, what would the animal be and what would the question be? Again, his brain has slammed on the brakes.
I'm trying to think of something really philosophical, you know, but my brain at the same time wants to go into like some really stupid direction.
But
so
this is the fucking place for stupid. If you want to go stupid, it's...
Yeah.
Widely accepted
so,
here.
I'm going to ask a dog, and I'm just going to ask him, what's up, dog?
What up, dog? All right, I gotcha. I see what you did there.
Yeah.
We'll keep the animal theme here for just a second. Would a turtle wear clothes over or under its shell? I told you this was going to get stupid.
Damn. Never thought about that. I wonder why I never thought about that, but I would say under, yeah, probably under.
So
yeah.
The shell's like its coat? It's like a suit of armor
so
type thing?
Right.
Okay.
Like skin, then clothes, and then shell.
Okay, I'm for it. I can go with that. Scale of 1 to 10, how good are you at keeping secrets? And you can be completely honest here, nobody's listening, it's just you and me.
It's a 2 or 3, probably. I don't know. It's just like shooting. Like I like shooting the shit with the voice. So when something slips through, I'm sorry. I'm just being honest. Like, don't tell me your secrets if you want them safe.
Don't tell Chris secrets. Got it. Yeah. Go to karaoke song.
Shit, I'm gonna have to look it up because it's not even in German. Like, Fuck me, what's it called?
I mean, sing part of it for me. Let me see if I can help you.
Like, I can't sing it. It's not a German song. It's some weird, Japan, J-pop. I have one play. Like, we have like 20 different playlists.
Okay.
And like for like just being on the road, you know.
Sure.
Just also like just trying to make a super long answer while I look it up.
Please, you do it. So that is fucking double extra professional of you. Good job out of you.
Right. So the song is actually called Mayonaka no Door.
Gesundheit.
But there's an English name to it. It's called Stay With Me by the artist Mika Matsubara.
I'm not going to even act like I'm going to write that down because I would not be able to even begin to guess how to spell most of that.
Yeah.
It was worth it.
And that's the only English phrase she says in the whole thing. It goes, stay with me. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, that one?
That one, yeah. I heard that just earlier. The dog and I were listening to it.
Yeah. So, that's the one.
Last one here. Sausage links or patties?
Sorry, come again?
Sausage links or patties?
I didn't get it. Sorry.
Like, if you're going to have some sausage, like some breakfast sausage, do you want the round patties or the long links?
No, patties.
Patties is the right answer. Good call.
Yes.
All right, man. This is my very original, nobody's ever thought of this before question. And so prepare to be just absolutely floored and be flabbergasted. You, Chris, of Half Me, are sent to an island by yourself for the rest of your life. You get to take one album with you. What will that album be?
That would be one album.
One album.
And I can, like, listen to it as many times as I want?
You're going to listen to it for the rest of your life.
All right. I think, like, honestly, because I've just listened to it so many times in my life and I never had the experience, like, feeling of, nah, I can't listen to it anymore, is probably the Under Oath album. Oh, man, it's hard. They have so many good albums. Like, I think it's Define the Great Line. Yeah, that's probably the one.
Define the Great Line. Got it. All right. That's a good fucking call, man. All right. I'm going to take us into the home stretch here. Thank you, Chris of Half Me, for talking with me today. This has been a lot of fucking fun. Immediately upon finishing listening to this episode, you should 100% seek out their music and turn it all up as loud as fucking possible and push play because, I mean, have you heard this fucking conversation? Have you heard about the music we're talking about? Have you heard the intro and outro song? Why wouldn't you listen to them? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Did you pay attention or what?
What the hell is wrong with you? Listen, we're giving you all the answers here. And anybody listening in the EU or UK, of which I know there are more than a small amount, be sure to check those tour dates and go see these guys again in May where they're playing every single fucking day. They've somehow actually added 3 days to the month of May so that they can play 3 more shows. Go find them. Go see them. Report back and let's hear about it. Thanks, as always, to the sponsors Sonic Temple and Brimminghorn. There will be another Sonic Temple giveaway info coming soon. Easy for me to say. Follow the podcast and Half Me on all the socials. Review us on iTunes and give stars on Spotify, please, as well as be sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever it is that you're listening to it from. Chris, at this point, I'm going to turn it over to you so that you can introduce the song for us, and we're going to do this thing perfectly.
Hell yeah. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, man. Have at it.
Okay.
Introduce Quitter Talk for us.
Perfect. What's up? This is Chris from Half Me, and you're listening to our new song, Quitter Talk.